if you do not have a quorum, in our instance, the quorum is 4. If you do not have a quorum, the only inhibiting factor that you have is that you can't make decisions. You can have conversation, but you can't make decisions. So based on that general rule, and I see the advocate shaking his head, so I'm happy, that what we do is we continue with the meeting. We have several people outside of here trying to get the fourth person to come. All that we have to do is to receive the presentation from the CIPC. Are you giving me permission to continue? How about it? Oh yes, that's part of the. That's part of. We can have the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I then officially open the meeting and say thank you very much, particularly to the CIPC colleagues who were here on time. We all ran from other meetings to get here. We appreciate it. And I also, in the introduction, want to, on behalf of us, congratulate the CIPC because of their performance, which resulted in them being awarded fairly recently. And we know that the Minister of DTI and the Department has formally conveyed their congratulations to you, and we just wanted to add our voice to that. The second thing is just to say that we welcome you today. We feel a bit uncomfortable that we don't have the numbers here that we normally have. This committee very seldom struggles with numbers. But we are at a very challenging time in the calendar of the NCOP. I want to state formally, because our other member of CIPC was not here earlier, that what's in fact happening is that we have the National Assembly just passed the appropriation bill, and now we have to process it in the NCOP, and it's one of the very important areas of our work. So colleagues who were here yesterday flew down to the provinces last night. They're presenting the bill in the provinces today. The provinces are then given a certain number of days, I think 3 days, to adopt it in the provinces. And once we get the mandate from the provinces, it's then only that the NCOP can finalize the bill. The second is that we also are not sitting next week, except next week Thursday, because of some legislation that members of this committee, and I underline the word, are supposed to do in the provinces, the chairperson of that. We have two committees operating together. It's this select committee that deals with trade, international relations and tourism. And then the very same members are serving on another committee that deals with economic and business development. And there's 6 departments of government reporting. So we have 12 departments of government that we're working with. So I'm using that to say that the fact that members are not here should not in any way be misconstrued other than saying that it's our program running. And thank you very much for your understanding. Our agenda for the day is that we will engage with the presentation, and then we may want to look at the minutes of our last meeting. We'll decide on that depending on our numbers at that time. But I noticed that Honorable Faber, and I was there, Yeah, so we were the only two. But in that way, we can still adopt the minutes. So we have a protocol where the chairperson can express an opinion on the minutes as well, in a formal sense. That's all that we have. We also want to ensure that we do not continue with the meeting beyond 12:15. Thank you very much. We have here, as you would have noticed already, the Honourable Dr. Ismail Bauda. He is from the province where the sun rises, Mpumalanga. And then we have the Honourable Willem Faber. He is from the province where the sun sets. That's the Northern Cape. And then my name is... my name is Eddie McHugh. We're from the province in which we trade with the sun. <That's our thing. laughs> Thank you very much to you and the team for being here. We hand over to you to lead us through the presentation after you've introduced the colleagues. We have our colleagues here, which is our secretary of the committee, Chupeka, my PA, Zoliswa, Martins Erasmus, who is our logistics officer, Abdullah Khanif, who is our researcher for the unit, and then Emmy there at the back, whom I'm sure you know. She's the one who brought you here with the Department of Trade and Industry Parliamentary Liaison Office, or the Office of the Minister. Thank you very much.
Greetings, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. It certainly is a pleasure for us to be here. And I just want to say thank you for the well wishes. I will certainly take it back to all my 500 staff and say that the NCLP is happy with our performance to date. And also thank you for the opportunity to present the annual report to the Select Committee. My delegation this morning is, next to me is my head of strategy. His name is Mr. Mbile Lekwana. He will also assist with part of the presentation this morning, dealing with the aspects of the actual performance of the APP. And to my far left after him is my CFO, and his name is Mr. Mohammed Jassat. He's fairly new, but fairly old. He's a new CFO, but he was previously part of the AG team that used to audit us. So he's seen both sides of the fence, as it were. And my DCI colleague from the Office of DG. So, Honourable Chairperson and members, we'll go through as efficiently as possible, as we can. And as you said, we're happy to engage at any area that the committee wants to deal with. We just put down what our vision and mission is, and everybody knows that the CIPC was the old CIPRO, dealing with company registrations and IP registrations. Our mandate is simply the same, but we've also added a lot of dynamics in the regulatory space. When we did the New Companies Act in 2011, the one part that we stressed a lot was that the CIPC needs to be a regulator of these areas, and we really take our regulatory role a very important one and very seriously in the work that we do. So I will deal with some high-level highlights that we believe is part of what our performance has been over the past 2016-2017 year. And once I'm dealt with that, we then go into the specifics, and then we'll deal with the aspects of the financial performance. Regarding the issue of how we deal with collaboration, and collaboration is a very big part of what we do, is the big one that we did in last year, the financial year, was that we launched the InvestSA main head office, which is located in the CIPC, together with the DTI. It was launched by the President and the Minister, a few ministers, and basically it's a one-stop shop facility for the reduction of bureaucracy and regulatory aspects for international investors who want to come into the country. We've now since launched the Western Cape, and on Saturday we'll be launching InvestSA KZN. So these are all taken to be quite important collaboration that we are involved in, and it's driven from the presidential level, as was mentioned in the State of the Nation. So we're very proud of the fact that CIPC hosts the main one, and we'll be very instrumental in the rollout of all the other provinces, and will be in terms of that. We also, as I said, take our regulatory role very important. From the first start of the Companies Act, we were trying to push through some regulatory orders. We first got our first delinquency order, and I think there's going to be a few going to be rolling in also very soon. This is where directors have been basically non-compliance in companies. For this particular company, which was in the Western Cape, it was one about reckless trading. It was taken on appeal, and we did actually win the appeal. And basically, the director has been declared delinquent. But we've seen a few others come into the role. And what that does for an organization is that it elevates the reputation of an organization, that one needs to take them seriously when it comes to regulatory matters and non-compliance when it comes to the Companies Act. So we've basically gone out and been dealing with that aspect. We launched a very huge campaign, which ran for a year, which is called Your Business, Our Focus campaign. And this is taking our services to the people. It is wanting to be in every nook and cranny of South Africa. We are a very large land mass, as we all know. But we had a very successful campaign in that we had a very far-reaching impact on all areas and all parts of our mandate. We did not only deal with the aspect of companies, but we also dealt with the aspects of intellectual property, taking it to the far reaches, teaching our people about and informing them and making them aware about how to formalize the business or how to register IP, how to use our services, how to access our services, and what we deal with in terms of partnerships. And I'll share some more of that in the coming presentation. So we really had a very successful campaign. It is ongoing. We don't leave it as a one-year campaign. We just scale it back somewhat depending on budget, but we basically will continue doing it as part of our focus. We piloted something called Extensible Business Language Reporting System. It is the receiving of financial data. The reason why I mentioned this particular project is because it is a project which is fully run by CIPC, but it has interest by the South African Reserve Bank, there's interest from the Financial Services Board, there's interest from some aspects in the private sector like the banks, there's interest from the FIC, and there's interest from SARS and STATS-SA. Because we will therefore be the conduit for financial information, company financial information, that these other regulators will then feed off in terms of utilization and use. It is a huge project. It is basically will be starting off in July next year in terms of the rollout, and it's part of what we do in terms of automation and making sure that financial information is able to be analyzed in a very efficient and structured manner. We see that our automation strategy is really paying off. We have quicker turnaround times. I was in portfolio committee 2 weeks ago, and basically when I mentioned how quick we register companies, there was a lot of shock and horror, but we currently register companies between 2 and 4 hours. Okay, we don't even measure it in days anymore. We measure it in hours. Whatever comes in this morning, it will go out today. If you lodge an application for a company at 9 o'clock in the morning, by 1 to 2 o'clock, you will receive your registration in your email, and I can guarantee you that. People can hold me to that. Obviously, if the system has issues, then we can't guarantee, but we like to stabilize our environment, and this is our automation strategy paying off. Chairperson, you mentioned the issue of the awards. We received 2 awards. We won the award for the Center for Public Service Innovation by Department of Public Service and Administration through Minister Faith Mutambi for public service excellence in terms of modernization. And then we were runner-up in the Government Technology Awards, which was held in Durban. Unfortunately, the new payment system by the Department of Justice beat us. We came second, but we're very proud of the fact that our automation is paying off, as well as the fact that we'll be dealing with that in a more efficient manner and moving on. All right, so we see our automation strategy really doing well. Our multi-channel strategy is also one that we're quite proud of. We also launched what is called a third-party model last year. Third-party model is basically taking the system that we have in CIPC Service Centers, which uses biometric verification and communication through the HANA system of Home Affairs, and we put it in the hands of anybody who wants to utilize the system, whether you're an accountant, whether you're an attorney, whether you're an individual who do company registration work. We move that process into your hands. You simply just need a biometric scanner, which costs probably about less than R1,000, and basically you will be verified through the HANA system, and you're able to register a company without any paper. That is something that we're very proud of. We call it the third-party model because of the fact that it's used a lot through people who register companies. We also, in terms of going back to the collaborative efforts, we was elected chair of the Technical Working Committee of the World Bank in terms of starting of a business in South Africa. It is the starting of a business sector in South Africa in terms of that particular indicator is between the Department of Trade and Industry, it's the CIPC, it is SARS, it is the Department of Labour, the UIF, and the Compensation Fund. So we've been working on that and trying to see how best we can deal with the issue of the World Bank. We also elected to the Corporate Registrars Forum. The Corporate Registrars Forum is a global body of registrars of companies. And at the last forum that was held in Hong Kong, South Africa was taken to be the leading corporate registry environment and system in Africa. And therefore, we were elected as part of the executive committee of this particular forum. We registered over 370,000 new companies last year. It was the biggest number of companies that has ever been registered. We registered 378,000 to be exact. And over 90% of those particular companies were registered in less time than what our APP says. Our APP has 2 days, but we registered the majority of them within 1 day. This year, I see that number being reached or exceeding from the volume that we see pushing through CIPC currently based on efficiencies and the ease of registration. But we see year on year the number of companies increasing in terms of that. We also automated the name reservation function. Name reservation is a pre-step, as most know, to registration. So even though we talk about how quick it is to register a company, we still have the pre-step of reserving the name of a company. We also automated that now, and we also have those name reservations being done within less than a day, also being done in hours. So if you put the and you combine the two efforts between name reservation and the actual registration of a company, it's a pretty quick turnaround time that we have in terms of that. We've also got many new automations coming through, as we'll see in the coming financial year. The next page is just to show what our campaign looked like. We had billboards, we had newspaper articles on a very regular basis. My head of strategy was very instrumental in the campaign. It has run through the strategy unit because we see this as a strategic source and a strategic resource for people to know about our services. We had taxi reps. We had malls. We used to go into malls and speak there. And we even had a mascot. We had a mascot called Febo, with a little ant that runs around. And people used to identify the campaign when they saw the ant. And you can I'm not showing so well, but you see him in the bottom right with his little mask on. People used to love taking photos with him. But it wasn't because of that. It was to get the presence of the CIPC and the recognition. When people see this, they know that the CIPC is around. So we went to every corner of South Africa, and we basically are very proud of the campaign. And as I said, we will continue to roll it out in the coming years. We also ask any members of this committee in the provinces who would like to invite us. We are also quite willing to go into the provinces extensively by invitation as well, not only in what we do in terms of our taking our campaign out. Some additional highlights of the period is that, CIPC was an organization which was wrecked by labor instability. We had a very huge exercise starting in 2011 and concluding in 2013, where we did a reorganization and a matching and placing exercise. And after that period, CIPC went into some significant labor issues. We have to say that in the last few years, we've had a very stable labor environment. Up until also recently, we consult and we negotiate very well with our unions. We've signed a new agreement with them, trying to tackle some of the issues. And basically, we see a very stabilized environment currently in terms of the work that we do and our interaction with our labor force, which is just under 500 currently. We've improved on our service delivery standards. Our service delivery standard is the commitment that we give to the public to say that once you submit to CIPC, we will conclude on your application within a certain period of time. And as when we started our what we call our service delivery standards, our SDSs, year on year, we try to improve on them. And basically, we've seen a lot of improvements in many of the areas. Some of the areas we maintain, others we improve on. Like I said, company registration has certainly gone down. Maintenance of companies has certainly gone down. For example, the amendments of directors, we do those also in a couple of probably about 1 or 2 days, where previously we used to do 5 or more. And basically, we are proud of our turnaround times and consistently reviewing them and consistently amending them and improving on them. We've seen an increase in terms of our online services, both in companies and IP. This is our digitization and automation strategy also paying off, and there's a couple of slides that talk to the years that have gone by in terms of how we've improved in that particular area in the online environment, because we see the online environment as one that creates access, because people can be anywhere, all right? We know that we've got partnership with the banks, And that partnership is working really, really well because it also gives us reach, it gives us presence in every city and town in South Africa, because a person can walk into a NetBank or an Absa or an FNB and basically deal with those services and CIPC services. So in an online environment, so we're really continuously working and improving on our online services. We also worked very closely in that year in dealing with the central supplier database, which I'm sure members of Parliament will know about. It's an integrated supplier system for government. It is a centralized system. The rollout and the project was run by National Treasury in conjunction with the CIPC and SARS. So to a lesser extent, the BEE component was also added to it. And we were very instrumental in the rollout of that. When the award was given by Minister Mutsambe a few weeks back, the central supplier database was also given an award as well for making it easier to interact and deal with the business of government. I mentioned the collaboration with the four banks. Just to say that in the last 2 to 3 weeks, we also rolled out an additional service. You can now go to a NetBank and also apply for a BEE certificate through the CIPC portal, and you'll be able to get your banking account, your company registration, and your BE certificate now through the banking collaboration that we dealt with. We've also automated many of our hybrid services in terms of our strategy to make it more effective in terms of our delivery. Something that's used in the IP space that we've started is that in terms of the IP policy, the intellectual property policy of government, South Africa will become a substantive examination country for patents. We've taken on that role because it is central to what we do, and we've taken on our first batch of what we call patent examiners. We have 20, we have 18, we had 22 resigned. We have 20. In the beginning of next year, we'll be taking on another batch of between 20 and 30, and this is gearing up for patent examination when it is rolled out in terms of the IP policy and when the IP policy is eventually concluded by Cabinet. Gearing up for that as well, we do a lot of MOUs. We did a very big one with the European Patent Organization, which is one of the biggest patent organizations and patent registration and examination institutions in the world. They're dealing with patent administration and helping our patent examiners deal with the aspects of how do they learn to examine patents and how do they administer patents. So it is an ongoing roadmap that we have with them, and it is lasting for probably another 2 years. We've also added more collaborative partners. We've added the Eastern Cape in East London, in Dansani. We added the Northwest in Rustenburg, the Orbit, and we've added the Free State to the Free State Development Corporation. We've also added now the Limpopo province, a leader. I just came from Polokwane yesterday with the MSC of Economic Development in the area, where we launched the CIPC Limpopo Economic Development Agency portal and office. And basically we see our role as taking our services out to any province. We now have a presence in every province except, unfortunately, in Mpumalanga. We've been battling for Mpumalanga for probably 2 years. We just need to speak to the right people. We've tried, and if I can speak to the honourable member, because I tried every avenue, I have tried members of the portfolio committee, tried industry as well. We certainly want to roll out in every single province accordingly. We will appreciate some assistance as far as that is concerned. What we're also proud of in terms of what we do is that we've also got involved in the social media space. Social media, people read more Facebook and Twitter posts than they do the newspapers. So we've also got into the Facebook and Twitter area. We've got 18,000 followers on Facebook and many, many thousand more on Twitter. And basically what we do is that we use it as a portal to receive any complaints or to receive any compliments, and also to help us and assist us in areas where we think we should improve on. So a lot of people, for example, in the Facebook will say, when are you coming to my city? So we know there's a need to go there. So it will help us in terms of our strategy and our planning, or people might say, look, I'm having a problem with a password reset. We go back and we look at the areas. When we first decided to start on the Facebook, there was a lot of trepidation, a lot of fear. I thought people might bash you on Facebook, but I think it's a useful tool. We're loving the tool. Even if people say bad things about you, they should say bad things about you when you're doing something wrong. But we see it as a very useful tool, and we see a lot of positive aspects coming out of being on the social media space. But also, we also use it as a tool to make people aware of our services. If our system goes down, for example, or we are going to nail spray to do an awareness campaign. We use these tools in order to also facilitate communication with the public. In terms of our distribution channels and our online transactions, we have what we call a multi-channel approach. We have online, all right, so people can go on and access our website and register. You can walk into what is called a self-service center. We have them in Gauteng and we have them in the Western Cape. We have also what we call partnership sites, self-service terminals. As I said, we have them in every province except in Mpumalanga. And we also have a national footprint in the third-party model and the stuff that we do that I mentioned previously. And we also have what we've been doing for a long time now, and we're very proud of, is our partnership with the banking sector. So it's our multi-channel approach. It is something that we see working. We want to be everywhere. We also want to be everywhere where people can use our services in the way that they want to use it. If a person wants to walk into a center, we want to be present. If a person wants to go online, we want to be present. If a person wants to go into their bank, we want to be present. So that is part of what we do, and it's part of the ease of doing business in South Africa and part of our strategy and our approach. As you can see from the same slide, when it comes to the issue of online services, you can see from 2013 to 2017, there's an upward trend when it comes to the utilization of the services. So the South Africans are IT savvy when it comes to the use of the system, because there's an upward trend, so much so that our online transactions for company registration is in the high 90s. It means that people are using it and people are accessing those services. We've seen a slight decline in the use of copyrights, but we've seen a decline in copyrights in phones for the last while. We don't know why it's happening. We've engaged the sector, we've engaged the artists, and we continue to engage the artists, but we see a decline in copyright. We certainly are proud of that particular thing. So what we'll deal with now, Chairperson, those are just some of the highlights. We'll go into some of the specifics in the ATP. I'll hand over to the corner from strategy, and he will basically take us through the various indicators.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for inviting us. Just to take over in terms of our presentation, I'll just do the few next slides. What we're dealing with here is the performance measures that we had identified as CIPC for the previous or for the reporting period that we're looking at. The first one, we wanted to look at the average number of days that it takes to register a company. That is what we're concerned about. Obviously, on the complete application. The target we had, maybe let me explain this in detail, because normally there's normally a confusion about how we put it. The actual achievement for 14 and 15, we're doing it in 4 days initially. To register a company was taking 4 days. Now, our target for 2016-17 wanted to do it in 3 days. So that's why you will see 4, and then the next one will be 3, and then the next one will be 3. With a target of 3, we achieved 3. So there was no variation there, which means that we achieved the 3 days and we could register a company in 3 days. Now, when you're saying in 3 days, it does not mean that there are no companies that are registered in less than 3 days. There are companies that are registered in less than 3 days, but in this specific instance, we were measuring the average of 3 days. So our focus was 3 days. We say how many are registered in 3 days or less. That is what we're concerned about. Then the next one was the reduction in the average number of days it takes to register cooperatives. There, if you look at the cooperatives, the target in 2015-16 was actually 2 days. We maintained that number at 2 days, and we achieved the 2 days. Now, one of the things that you must note about cooperatives is that in terms of the numbers of cooperatives, as we will see on the presentation, there is a decline in the number of the cooperative applications we are receiving. And I think that there are various reasons that give us that. But there has been, over the past 4 years, a decline that we had experienced in terms of the cooperative registration. Then the next one is the increased level of education and awareness around important changes in the Companies Act, now in the Cooperatives Act. Now, here what we're doing is that we're looking at the changes or anticipating changes in terms of the amended or amendments in the Cooperatives Act. That is what we're looking at. So it was a new indicator in the last year. So what we had, a target was 3 days, and now we wanted to have 3 workshops on that one, and we achieved the three workshops. Because the issue here was creating awareness, because those changes, those amendments were coming with certain changes in terms of how financial statements are done and in terms of how the other issues like the annual returns are being done for the cooperative. So that is what we are measuring in the last period. Then the next one was dealing with the percentage of companies and entities, which is purely the issue of the annual returns. We were measuring those ones that have filed their annual returns as we were. We had achieved 50% in 15-16. Now what we tried to do was that we tried to increase that to 54%. The reason we're increasing it to 54% was obviously anticipation of the education and awareness work that we were doing on our side. Now, what we came up with, we achieved 48%, we're 6% under that. Now, if we look at the explanation there, one of the issues that we have with the companies, we'll find that the companies that we are registering on a daily basis, most of them, we'll find that they are survival list. I register a company because I anticipate that I may leave the organization and there may be a few opportunities that will come. But I may leave the organization, but the opportunities do not come, and I'm unable to continue using that company the way that I would have wanted to look at. But also, the annual returns issue also relies on the issues of the access to internet, that people must be able to have access to the internet so that they can do it themselves, or they can do it through various partners that you basically have. But also the requirements to file. CIPC has initiated a stage where when you get your certificate, your responsibilities are also outlined on the attachment, which are saying you must lodge your annual return within a particular period or on anniversary date. But the Act provided that it can be done within 2 years. You must do it extended into about 2 years. So in that instance as well, it has had an impact in terms of that. In some instances, we have details that are incorrect, where, for example, you give us a cell phone number, but that cell phone number, when you change it, you don't make us aware. Or your address, you may have been renting at a certain place, when you move, you don't make us aware. So when we send the letters for the annual returns, they go there and they come back, and as a result, you are not complying with some of those particular issues. Those are some of the reasons that contributed to us not achieving the other 6% in terms of the 54% we had identified. The next one was around the issue of the seminars with the state-owned companies on annual return compliance. We did three seminars. We had targeted three seminars. It was a new indicator. So in that one, we did one in Cape Town, and we did two in Gauteng. And the reason for that is because most of the state-owned companies are mainly in Gauteng, and some are actually in Cape Town. There are very few outside those two. So that is why we had those three workshops being conducted in those specific areas. The view here is that when we talk about annual returns, is that we must start pushing compliance from even government-owned entities so that we can be good examples, so that we can make sure that we have no issues of the government-owned entities being deregistered. That is what we are discouraging. We want to make sure that all of the time they are actually within the Act as it were. Then the next one would be around the average number of days to issue an application for a trademark. Let me just specify on that one. On that one, what we're measuring here is not the registration of a trademark. It's the letter that we issue in 2 days is a letter that acknowledges that you have submitted on that specific day and therefore protects you from that point until your process is complete. So it's an acknowledgement that you had actually submitted an annual return and you had met the requirements, and then it's just acknowledging that kind of a thing, because the approval may take a long because you still have to advertise and do all of the other things that would actually go with in the journal, as it were. So the issue here is that we also exceeded the target. Instead of the three, we did it in 2 days, so to speak, because of the improved efficiencies that we had in the organization. The next one is on the average number of days to issue an application for a patent. It's the same with the trademark. There we also did it in 2 days, and we improved the efficiencies as well there instead of the 3 days, so we improved by 1 day. And then the next one was around the design. We achieved 3 days. There we met exactly the target. There was no deviation on that one. In the increased knowledge of IP or number of education and the awareness workshops in IP, we had targeted around 20 for the year under review. We achieved 25. We had 5 extra, and the reason for that was because we received more requests for the IP education and the workshops and information sessions. So we received quite a lot from the requests of the people that wanted us to present. As the commissioner was saying, that we sometimes we receive requests and we respond to those requests. If we go to the next strategic objective, which is the cultural heritage and support of strong competitive South African industry to provide benefits for local artists, then what we're dealing with there, we're looking at the new indigenous knowledge systems, so to speak, to say we must, whilst we're anticipating the finalization of the law process, we must be looking at increasing the awareness on those on that particular area. So we targeted a number of 3. That is what we had targeted in 2016-17. We achieved 14, so we exceeded it by 11. Now, one of the reasons why that happened was because of the obviously the requests that we are receiving. But number 2 is that we tended to ensure that when we do the IP awareness in general, the intellectual property awareness, in some instances we included the expertise on the intellectual on the IKS as well, because of the interconnectedness and the relationship of IKS with IP. So we did that in some of the instances as well, besides the issue of the numbers that we received in terms of the requests. Then in relation to the number of education awareness events, creativity and enforcement initiatives, that one deals with the issues of enforcement on IP specifically. And that one is a multi-stakeholder approach, because it may involve SAFs, it may involve SAPS, it may involve anybody else that is involved on the enforcement side. There we had targeted a number of 4. We achieved 6, which means the target we exceeded with 2. There the issue was better coordination with the relevant stakeholders that we're working with and the requests from their side as well. The next one deals with the issue of the CIP services with an option to file electronically compared to services that can only be filed manually. As it was indicated before, we are on a trajectory where we're trying to make sure that there's automation and there's increased access of the IPC services. And as a result, we want to have an option for people to file manually or automatically, but mostly or electronically. We're now going more electronic than just manually. In this instance, when you're saying we achieved 21%, what it basically means is that of the all services or applications that we're offering, the ones that have an option to file electronically are actually 21%. Now, this involves a lot of processes within the organization that you need to review, but it also involves quite a lot of other efforts that are put in terms of automation. But what does not happen is that if you improve one process and you automate it, it doesn't count as 1%. So you have to do a lot before you can actually have the 1%. So we achieved 21% instead of 20%, which is why we get 1% there. So the automation process has actually improved. Then the next one is the website availability. In the website availability, basically, it's the performance of our e-services, which should be available 24 hours, 7 days a week. The target there was 95%. Our systems, as it was said, are more stable now. So what we did is that we achieved about 96% of what was there, which we improved by 1% from what we were supposed to achieve. Obviously, there are issues of infrastructure upgrades that have actually been implemented and are giving us the results of the stability of the system that we want. So those improvements are as a result of some of the infrastructure upgrades that we have done. The next one is around the number of provinces where self-service terminals were installed and are operational. In that instance, we had targeted 4, we achieved 6. The reason there is that initially when we started with the process of the SSTs, it took us longer because I think that we were learning in the process. Now we are doing it faster because the infrastructure is there. And also we have built the right partnership, so it takes us quite quicker to have the SSTs installed or to have the SSTs operational than it was before. So that's why we achieved 2 more than what was expected. If we go to the next one, strategic objective 3.2, under that one we're looking at the positions filled in the approved structure. Now, the IPC, I mean, we as we are automating, obviously, that will have an impact in terms of the post-filling plan that we may have as an organization, because some of the resources that we may have had in companies that are registered in companies physically or manually may now be have to be moved in somewhere else, and you may not have to fill some of the positions. But the target we had last year was 75% of the structure that we said that it must be filled of those vacant positions. And so we are now currently we've filled 75% of the structure that we have in the organization. Now, those is based also on the critical post-filling plan that we have as an organization.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, the next slide is just to show the year-on-year analysis of how the trend and the upward trend in registrations is occurring, based on not only company and calls, but also looking at the IP space, in terms of trademarks, patents, and copyrights. But the only area where we see a bit of a drastic decline is in copyright in forms. We only register copyright in forms, no other copyright in South Africa. But the numbers have never been significant numbers in any case over the years. We probably register somewhere in the region on average about 60 to 70 per year in terms of that, but we're seeing a reduction as far as that is concerned. Company registrations is definitely increasing by large volumes. And we see it on a couple of levels as why. We see that because the efficiency and the bureaucracy and the red tape, a lot has been taken away in terms of what we do and in terms of our strategy. It is easier for people to formalize their businesses. We also see that because there is a high national unemployment, and we've done a little bit of questions and answers, because we have a survey that we take, people tend to register more companies when that occurs, and therefore we see the numbers also playing itself out when it comes to the year-on-year averages they're at. The additional slides is just an extrapolation of that particular area, and going all the way back to the 2008, 2009 area, so I won't go over them particular. I will want to just move to another area, which is not contained in the analysis of the future slides, is the area of business rescue. We are responsible for two areas in business rescue. The one is that we deal with the licensing of what is called business rescue practitioners, and that is a substantive process. We have a vetting committee, and we go through it in terms of the documentation as well as application of mine in order for us to deal with who we license. But the other area that we deal with in terms of business rescue is the receiving of the administration and the administrative documents for the entering of business rescue by certain companies. Last year, 373 new companies went into business rescue. We see very few of them coming out. What we do see is a trend for companies to ask for extensions. Now, extensions seem to go on and on and on, and it seems to be a bit of a problem. So much so that there is going to be a request for an amendment to the Companies Act, and a request has been put through to the Department of Trade and Industry for them to review the timelines associated with business rescue, because business rescue practitioners and banks and those who deal with the whole workings of the system are saying that the timelines are too strict. So that is the reason why we have this extension period where some businesses go into rescue for longer periods of time than what was envisaged in the law. So we certainly will be looking at that. What we also did in the year is that we had created what is called a Business Rescue Liaison Committee. It's the bringing together of practitioners, professional bodies, academics in business rescue, which is quite a few of them in universities, other regulators like SARS and the Financial Services Board, as well as the banking institution. There are probably 50 members in this committee. It's running really, really well. We seem to iron out some of the areas that practitioners are having problems with, or the banking system is having problems with. And basically, there also is a lot of dialogue between those who are involved in the process of business rescue. So CIPC is chairing that particular committee, and we see it as part of our role in ensuring that business rescue remains as a viable source for the turnaround of companies, not going to the insolvency route and the way that insolvency was run over the period of time. So business rescue seems to be doing quite well as far as that is the area. We want to see more coming out. The next aspect about business rescue is that we probably see about between 15 and 20% of success rates. All right, it seems to be pretty low, but we see some significant ones when it comes to that. So we really need to deal with the issue of how do we refine some aspects in the law and make sure that business rescue, in terms of our amendments, is workable. I would say that the CIPC is very much involved in the regulatory space. We've got whole divisions which are dedicated to investigations, and they deal not only with investigations in the private and the private company sector, but they also deal with investigations of state-owned companies. We dealt with a lot of high-level state-owned company investigations in the reporting period, We had investigations, for example, involving South African Airways. We had involved in Telkom. We currently involved in big matters involving Denel. We're dealing with matters of the National Nuclear Regulator. All governance issues that we see coming through, and governance and non-compliance issues. We do engage with the relevant ministers to try and inform them of these investigations. They're very, very helpful. And our role is not to be a punitive one, but is to improve on the governance culture and the corporate governance aspects of these particular companies. So we really do play a very active role, a very high level. We've been in the newspapers quite a bit for this particular area. We will be hitting the newspapers in the next couple of days because there's a couple of big ones that we're also pushing through, and we see it as part of our function. Reportable irregularities is our relationship, and also contained within the Companies Act, between the CIPC and the auditing profession. Now, when the auditors pick up non-compliance issues during the course of the audit, they are obliged by law to inform regulators, and one of the regulators, and the main regulator, is either the South African Revenue Service or the CIPC. Many of the failures that we see is, for example, non-reporting by directors to shareholders, non-holding of meetings, no financial statements being concluded or approved, reckless trading, and we take on those particular roles and we issue what is called compliance certificates. We've seen an increase in the compliance certificates over the reporting period. We play a very active role in ensuring that those compliance certificates are followed through. If they fail to be followed through, we thereafter report them to court, and some matters we report to the National Prosecuting Authority, and just so that we can play an active role in improving the governance culture of South African companies, whether they're in the public or the private space. We're also the receiver of what is called independent reviews. Certain levels of companies are not required to have a full audit. They are required to have a review based on their size. These are mid-tier companies, and we are the receiver of what are called independent review financial statements. We have the capacity and the capability to analyze these statements. We've trained staff. Many of them are financially qualified in terms of the degrees that they have, and we also put them through courses to be able to translate and analyze and interpret financial statements. So we also play a very active role in ensuring that this is done. We would like to see the numbers increase. The one thing is that when we did an amendment to the Companies Act, we saw independent review as an alternative to a full audit. It is cheaper, it has less stringent requirements, but we are not seeing the numbers coming through in terms of utilization of this particular service. One of the reasons why is that, for example, when a company which is required to be reviewed goes to the bank and to ask for a loan, they say they're not willing to accept the review statements, they only want audited statements, and therefore companies are willing to do independent reviews. So we're trying to change the culture. It's even in government that this happens. We haven't spoken to our mother department. They say that a company which applies for finance, they always ask for audited financial statements, whereby the company and the size of the company should be having independent review statements. So we're trying to change the whole culture of how these independent reviews are done and the numbers that they are done by in terms of the reporting. The last two slides, as far as the performance is concerned, deals with the issue of the call center. The call center is always has been, and I do not shy away from this fact, the call center of the CIPC is one that does not function really well. And it is something that we are working on for the last probably 2 years. We've capacitized it. We continue to capacitize it. I've just signed on for 8 or 9, somewhere there, new call center agents. We do it in a multi-pronged approach. The one is that we try and correct any errors in the system so that people do not call. We try to become more efficient so people do not call. We do all of these things. We have seen the number of calls reduce based on the efficiency gains that we've done, but the call volumes are still pretty high. That is the reason why we've increased the number of call center agents to be able to deal with the answering of these calls. It is something that is certainly on the upward trajectory. There is certainly improvements in our call answer rate, but it is nowhere near what it should be. So it is a strategic focus of the Executive Committee of the CIPC, as well as the responsible executive in the area, in order for us to get the numbers up to make sure that we are able to, in a short space of time, answer the calls that we receive, like all other major call centers that have the type of work. We'll now move on to the financial performance of the CIPC.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you, Chair. I will take you through the last 7 slides, which deals with the financial performance of the CIPC as well as the audit report received. For the period ending March 2017, our operating revenue was 468 million rand, relating to 315 million rand from annual returns and another 152 million rand from other fees. That's a 6.6% increase from the prior year. Further to that, we generated 121 million rand interest on short-term deposits and 6.1 million rand other income. Our total revenue for the year was 596 million rand compared to 547 million rand in the 2016 year, which is a 9% increase from the prior year. On the next slide, our expenditure. Our total expenditure for the year was 411 million rand, made up primarily, our biggest cost driver is employee costs, and that has been so for the past few years, with 253 million rand for 2016-17. That represents 61% of our total expenditure. Further to that, we had 109 million rand operating expenditure, 38 million rand administrative expenditure, and 10 million rand depreciation and amortization. Our expenditure increased by 16% since the prior year. However, that will be analyzed when we look at our statement of financial performance. If we go to the next slide, our statement of financial position. CIPC is in a comfortable net asset position, which means that our assets are much higher than our liabilities. If we look at assets, the last line, cash and cash equivalents, I will just take the committee through the major changes from the 2016-17 year. Our cash decreased from 1.593 billion to 1.551 billion. The reason for that mainly is the surrendering of the prior year, the 15-16 surpluses to the National Revenue Fund, and that's why it is slightly lower than the prior year. Under non-current assets, property, plant and equipment, and intangible assets, we have significant increases in the carrying value of those two line items, and the reason for that is basically the automation of CIPC and the amount that we are investing into our IT infrastructure. Under liabilities, the one big difference that the committee will notice is right at the bottom, transfer to National Revenue Fund payable of 209 million rand. That 209 million rand relates to our current year cash surplus, which we have opted to declare and pay over to the National Revenue Fund. That's why there was nothing in the prior year, and the current year we see that money that is payable to the National Revenue Fund. Other than that, there's no significant changes. Under the statement of financial performance, which is the next slide, CIPC is a self-funded entity, which means it's in our best interest to keep our income, to try to increase income and ensure that our income is higher than our expenditure in order for us to be sustainable, as well as in order for us to be able to fund our capital projects. So we need to be liquid as well. So with that in mind, our revenue from fees decreased slightly from 156 million to 152 million. The reason for that, as stated by the Commissioner, there's a few things. One is the corporate registrations went down, IP as well went down. However, companies' registrations went up, and that sort of subsidized that 152 million rand. Interest income increased, other income increased slightly, and our annual return, which is our major driver of revenue, increased by 11.7%, altogether giving us a 9% increase in revenue. Our expenditure compared to the prior year, 411 million rand, which is 60 million rand above the 2016 revenue. Expenditure. The reason for that, the major reason for the difference, is our advertising campaign, which was discussed by the Commissioner, the Your Business, Our Focus campaign. The first line item, as you can see, 2015-16, we spent 586,000 in advertising, and 2016-17, it went up to 9.4 million. That was the advertising campaign that we went throughout the year. The other big difference is under communication and postage, which is the compliance notices, from 5 million rand to 20 million rand. The reason for that is CIPC, every few years, sends out compliance notices to remind companies to pay their annual returns, and last year was one of the years that we sent out these compliance notices. That increases the postage fee substantially. Other things to note is employee costs. There was an increase of 9.5%, which is in line with the increases. Operating lease charges increased from 29 million to 33 million, and that is basically because of the increase in the self-service centers that we rolled out throughout the provinces. And our net, our surplus percentage from the prior year to the year under review was 36% compared to 31%, and the reason for that is based on the factors that we discussed above. Chair, the next two slides basically deals with our revenue and expenditure analysis, but I've gone through that in the financial performance and the first two slides, so I will go through to the last slide, which is the report of the Auditor General. The CIPC received a clean audit opinion, which means that there were no audit findings in the audit report, or reported in the audit report, and furthermore, there were no significant internal control deficiencies reported. Obviously, the Auditor General looks at the financial statements, which they consider to be presented fairly, and if we have material misstatements, reported performance information, where it was considered that there were no material findings on the usefulness and reliability, as well as no material non-compliances with the selected specific requirements of applicable legislation, which the AGSA tested. I will hand back to the Commissioner for closing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mohammed, and thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. That's it from us, and we're willing to engage on any aspects of the presentation.
Thank you very much to the Commission and the team. Let me just acknowledge the presence of our old team member, the Honourable Mita, who is from the Eastern Cape. Good having you with us, Madam. Thanks for helping us with the numbers, yeah? Honourable members, there we have it. They ran through it mighty fast at great speed. But you can see the business people, you see, the business community, every meeting means that you are spending company resources. Can we hear from the members if you have any questions, comments on the presentation? I must warn you that I have at least four, so I will join. What we'll do, Commission and your team, we'll allow all the members to raise their comments and concerns. Comments you can just note, but if there's questions, then we would request that you respond to them. Please, Honourable Father first.
For change, I'm not going to have so many questions, but the questions I want to ask, the first one was CCs instead of PTY limiteds were stopped. I would like to know what the reason was for that. As entering the market as a business, as a closed corporation, was a much easier process than opening up a PTY limited, and the reasoning as well, I don't think you need an auditor or a chartered accountant to do your books. So especially where you are in the entry market into starting off a small business and you have to register a business. I mean, just for myself, for my wife, I opened up a tourism business and, you know, we had to open up a PTY limited. Now she then had to do the course, and after a year now, she hasn't done business yet, but we already have to do tax returns. I haven't done that, so I'm behind on that, just listening to it. But the thing is, she just wanted to open a small business to, like, take people to Table Mountain now and then if it happens. So I think if we look at our economy, we see the future in small business development. And for small businesses to actually just open up a small entity, I believe this is the important thing, and I want to know is, do they all have to now go the route of opening a PTY? Is there something else instead of the old closed corporation for any person just to open up a entity and be able to pay tax if there is taxes to be paid and also be recognized as a business instead of doing the big thing of opening up a PTY and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think let me first stand with that one, and I will let my Honourable Wouda go on. I had another question, I'll just follow up, and I'll get back to you on that.
No, you know that's not how it works, Honourable
Father. If I
find it. No. I'm still the one to say whether you can speak.
But you may, Honourable Father.
Continue.
Thank you, Jefferson. I greet all of you with Assalamu Alaikum. Another an exciting entity, you know, compromises the fighter. I don't get a chance to fight yet. I want to comment that I think, Jefferson, and I've mentioned this a number of occasions in our meetings, I get the sense that the use of the information technology is assisting you in a very big way. And this is the proof of the pudding, they say, in the eating, right? Okay, and then your turnaround time, you emphasize that, and give us a sense of, you know, this. You mentioned the stable labor environment. I think that's another issue. You know, I went looking for workers, and I found human beings instead. When you create a stable labor environment, we see the results. I think that's also supporting you, and this is why you are seeing, Jefferson, again, the proof of the pudding. Now, you mentioned that you have a footprint in the banks. We know that the post office, we're looking at utilization of the post office for SASA. Will you be looking at utilizing the post office in the years to come? I think this is important. I think, you know, bank charges are high. Give me an idea of what they're charging people, you know, when people utilize the services through the bank, and how much more is that costing our people. Are you also including that in your statistics when you give us? You say turnaround time is very fast. Is it the banks that are doing it for you, and is it costing people a lot more than what your actual offices are doing themselves? About Pumalanga, I'm not sure if I should say this. There's, you know, you've got to speak to the king, eh? I'm not going to say any more than that, right? But let's have a chat. You mentioned in slide 8, about changes. You went on a roadshow, and you mentioned, you consulted with the community on the changes to the amendments to the Act. The question I'm asking is, how was this received? What kind of feedback did you get? So we know how to address our constituencies with regard to this. We don't have any members, all right? Okay, then about the extension of time, you said you've written to the department that you need an extension of time. Was it for business? A business rescue, hey. What is there anything that perhaps we as a select committee could do to assist you in that regard? Where is the process and so on, and give us a little bit more of, you know, what we can do perhaps to. Then the reports that are coming through are all very good. I would have liked to see a little bit more, Chairperson, on the state-owned entities, the state-owned companies, because it may be that the state-owned companies are not doing as well as the reports are reflecting, and it might be that the reports are looking better because of the feedback that you get from private companies. So as members, we would like to know what is the situation there. Now, Chairperson, as you know, I'm a simple fellow, and I don't know much about all these, but I'm asking a question. You know, where you get these conglomerates that are formed, and I'd better move a bit away from the Kaiser Wilhelm here sitting next to me, this monopolizing. Chairperson, you know, if he does,
you're
but Steve, this is more than protection. He's a lot bigger than both of us in size. Okay, but about this, conglomerates that form and so on, it monopolizes capital. And I'd like to ask, what is your take on this, and how do you people feel about this? And, you know, we just allow it freely to continue in this country. Surely we should put some kind of, control over this to ensure. But discuss the pros and cons with us. Maybe I'm missing something. There might be a lot of good in these companies coming together that we are not aware of, and maybe it is at the end of the day helping our people on the ground. Again, like I say, let's have a little chat in the conversation about that. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Bauda. You're sneaking that last one in. That's intellectual property, to express an opinion on the economic system. But we leave it to the Commissioner to say, how do you deal with it? The Honorable Nita was a member of this committee before, and then they stole her from us. So we're giving her a chance to engage with you now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, the first point was taken by Honorable Wilder on the issue of post office. I think let me re-emphasize the point that we'd like to hear your comment on that one. And the next point is on page 8, where you spoke about the decline in membership of the cooperative. I would like to know, because on the second one you are referring on the issue of having educational awareness program. So I would like to know, out of those, what did you pick up that caused the decline? On the issue of utilization of the IP, we really commend you.
Thank you very much. Let me make an introductory comment before I raise my questions. In 2012, 2013, I tried to register a company. And at that time, they still had all the runners.
Yeah.
And I was referred to the runners and got very scared. So we appreciate also what the Honorable Bauda has raised about the introduction of IT and how that has helped, although we recognize that there is still a challenge, because many of the company's actual reports indicate when they have to do their submissions, don't have access to that technology. And to just say that, yes, we note that. My first question would be on page 7. We hear reports from DTI about work that they're doing on design. And I see that in design application there, your performance stands only, your online transactions at 51%. Now, can you tell us what's the reason for that, so that in our own work we could also look at how, because we represent provinces and people there, we can help. Not that we're going to help you do it, but that we can make sure that we strengthen your hand in doing it. My second question is on page 9, which has been touched on by the Honorable Nita and Honorable Wouda when they talk about the state-owned companies. But I want to focus in particularly on the annual return compliance that you're reporting on there, and you're saying that you have had 3 workshops in Cape Town and Gauteng, but those are also the provinces that we know they find it much easier. When we look at the AG report, it is those areas of the state that are functioning within the rural areas where the challenge is much bigger. Now, I can understand, you may argue, but you don't find many state-owned companies in the rural areas. But if I interpreted your report properly, you're also saying you trained people in Sandton, and they then, in turn, went to go and transfer that knowledge to structures in the other provinces. The bottom line of the question is, can you tell us whether you're able to gauge the success of that or not. My third comment would be on the same page 9, where you talk about the trademarks. Very subjectively, I know some family members who say that, you know, we have this wonderful design, and it's related to trademarking and patenting. You are there only talking about what your target was 3, and your actual was 2, and then you say you want improved efficiency of processing. I'm, for example, looking at this young man who's now involved in biofuels from Soweto, and he's doing this work within Limpopo. And I'm worried that in the economic situation in which we find ourselves, we may find that African concepts are just stolen from us. How do we... Because Africa has growing economies. I'm not asking you to express an opinion on Africa, but saying that South Africa is a major contributor to the economic well-being of the continent. Can you give us some type of certainty that the emerging entrepreneurs and with their trademarks would be adequately protected, or do we need to do more on that? The hidden element behind that question is that our portfolio committee is looking at a bill on patenting rights as well as improving on that, that we can say to them, but let CIPC come and participate in the public hearings and make sure you hear from them. Let me pose my penultimate question, which is on page 10, where you are referring to the increased knowledge and awareness on IP. Don't you see a contradiction in your presentation on that, where you're saying that there is increased knowledge in terms of the processes that you have started, but when it comes to the regulation and to the conformance, there is still a difficulty there that many of the companies do not have the ability to conform to the legislative requirements. I just want to understand, am I hearing you properly? My last question is on the financial performance, and I'm just going to pose the one where I'm worried on page 26, where you are talking about your cash and cash equivalents, and you refer to Note 5. Now, I have not read the full report to see what's on Note 5, but I want to link that with what you have on Note 22, the 209,848 that you had to pay back to the revenue fund. Now, I'm a bit selfish here, where I noticed that you... Sorry, 26. I'm sorry. It's page 26. No, I'm talking on note 22. You see those small numbers there under notes on page 26? Are we not together? In financial statements, you always have the figure and a note, and they explain the figure in the notes. Now, I'm saying I don't have the notes yet, so I'm asking for an explanation based on those notes. Okay, are we together? You've returned 209,000 to the revenue fund. Mm-hmm. Right? Sorry, 209,000. Thanks for the correction. Would you be confronted with such a situation again? Because we would rather see you spending the money than having to give it back to the revenue fund. Now, particularly against the backdrop where we know that we are walking a very tight fiscal rope, we would then, as members of this committee, want to make sure that you don't disadvantage yourself. And if there are any dynamics there that you need to share with us so that you can increase, because almost every department that comes to us asks if we can appropriate a higher proportion of the budget. And here you're sitting with a good reserve fund. If you could respond to those, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members and chairperson. I will respond to the majority of them, and I'll get my team also to respond to a few of them. The first question was regarding the issue of CCs and companies and what was the rationale behind it. When we did an amendment to the Companies Act all the way back, 2008 we concluded, but we started 10 years before that, there was an issue that we dealt with called regulatory arbitrage. There were aspects in the Close Corporations Act that was overlapping in the Companies Act and vice versa. So what we then did was we said, look, in one piece of legislation, let's take aspects of the Close Corporation Law and put it into the Companies Act and make a small company almost resemble a close corporation. And let me give you some examples. The one is that in close corporation law, there is no differentiation between a person who owns a CC and a person who runs a CC. Similar to a company whereby you have a director, which is separate from the shareholders. It's two distinct features. In close corporation law, there is nothing like that. You start the CC, like your wife will start the CC, she will also run the CC. So she's a shareholder and she's a director, if you want to use the word loosely. In close corporation law, that's called the membership, the members. Now, what we did in company law is that we gave certain exemptions to what we call owner-managed companies. You're the owner and you're the manager, like you were a CC. So a smaller type of PTY is exactly the same and exactly equivalent to what a CC would have been looked like. It's structured the same and it functions the same, because we even removed the auditing requirement for those type of companies. We removed the mandatory requirement to have meetings. We removed many, many aspects of what was only in company law but not contained in close corporation law. We brought some of those aspects in. So a smaller type of PTY is in effect a CC. It's almost exactly the same. There is almost nothing different to it because of the exemptions that are applicable and contained within the Companies Act. Okay? So we don't want to have two laws having the same thing. It's arbitrage, because you're having two laws governing the same scenario. So I can put your wife's mind is, it's exactly the same as if she had a CC. Right. The next thing is the issue regarding our collaborations. And two of the honorable members mentioned the issue about Amadeus. We're talking to the post office. By all means, we've had lots of discussions with the post office. We want to place our technology and our terminals in the 1,000, I don't know how many there are. There's 1,700 post offices in South Africa. We want to put that technology, and we've spoken to, Mark? The CEO. Yeah, I've sent my teams. We've had discussions with him. We've told him we're ready. They're not. Unfortunately, they've come back to us and they said, look, they're dealing with other aspects. You know, the post office kind of goes through a bit of a turnaround. And they said, look, they will definitely inform us, but we are certainly ready and willing to place our technology and the utilization of the post, of the registration of companies within post office, because there are so many of them. You go to any small town and any small city, you'll find a post office. And I always say this about the CIPC, we are willing to collaborate with anybody on one condition. The collaborative partner must not add an additional expense. It's called a value proposition. So if you go into a bank and you register a company, they don't charge you 1 cent more. 175 cents, because they get the clients. That's the value for them. They get the bank account and they get the clients. So they don't charge anything over 175. They're not allowed to do it in terms of law, and they're not allowed to do it in terms of the agreements that we have with them. And we check on them all the time. We've got a very good relationship with the banks. I must say they've come to the party really, really well.
Can I just interrupt you slightly, if members allow us for clarification on that? Then you jump to good relationships with the bank.
Yes.
Are you, in terms of the terminals, already engaged in conversations with the bank to make an assessment as to whether a terminal can be shared, rather than having all these different terminals in one small post office?
Look, what we said is that like we deal with other partners, we will treat the post office as if it's another partner of ours, right? We have different models depending on who the partner is. Some partners, we place our technology, and when I say technology, I mean our infrastructure, like a terminal, in a partner. They say, look, we don't have the capacity to do so. Some of them say, we've got the capacity to get our own terminals. Just give us your technology. So it depends on what the post office wants to do. Look, CIPC can't put it in 1,700 post offices. We have to come up with a sharing model of some sort. In the bigger centers, we can put CIPC terminals. In the smaller centers, the post office might have to pay for it. But we will deal with the technology. Because the next aspect of our placing of these terminals is the maintenance of it. It's going to be a huge task to maintain 1,700 terminals from CIPC. They maintain it, but we supply you with the technology to do it, like the banks. The banks supply their own technology, their own infrastructure. The Co-ops Act was very well received. There's a hunger for this co-ops. And there was a call to do more of them, and we certainly want to go out into provinces, because as you all know, the Co-ops Act is passed, and they concluded the regulations, so the new Co-ops Act will be rolled out very, very soon. So we're going to do more extensive sessions when it comes to the Co-ops Act than really we do with Companies Act, because of the impact that it's going to have in terms of the new law. And also ties up with the question about the reduction we see. There's a couple of reasons why, and we really can add to it. The one is that previously the provinces had an incentive scheme for co-ops. Right? They used to incentivize the registration of cooperatives. We saw cooperative numbers go to the roof. They just went because the provinces used to pay people to start cooperatives, and then that was removed. Okay? Once that was removed, we saw the cooperative numbers decline. But you see, there has to be a balance between the incentive scheme and the monitoring of the scheme. Because we saw many of those cooperatives not function, unfortunately. It was there to start, get a bit of an incentive, and didn't really do any business. I'm glad that the Department of Small Business has taken this on. The department run by Minister Zulu, they're very much involved in the cooperative space, not only in policy, but also trying to deal with incentivization of cooperatives. Regarding the extension of time frame for, it is the extension of time frame not by us, but by the practitioners. What they do is they say, look here, in terms of the company that you are given 3 months in order to conclude on a business rescue. If you don't, you either have to go to a court to ask for an extension, or you have to come to the regulator to ask for an extension. They are saying that these time frames are too short. They can't conclude on this. Because to turn a business around is a really difficult thing. It takes a multitude of skill. You need negotiation, you need financial skills. A lot of the time you're dealing with large labor forces, you need labor skills. So these guys are saying the time frames are too short. And that is the reason why there is a proposal to amend the time frames in the amendment to the Companies Act, which is coming before Parliament next year. All right? It's the extension of those time frames to try and make that longer, to make it longer in terms of the reporting period for businesses when they report on the functioning of a business rescue. It's not something that the CIPC gets involved in. All we do is we monitor it, we grant the extension, and then we monitor when they reply to us. The issues about state-owned companies, look, number one, we do a lot of campaigns and a lot of education around state-owned companies. We do lots of it. We go out and we talk. I've even met ministers, and I've spoken to them, and I've said to them, invite us and we will come and speak to the boards of these things about their governance. Because remember, state-owned companies are contained in two pieces of legislation, either the PFMA or the Companies Act. Okay, they might have their own pieces of legislation, but in terms of their mandate, but when it comes to the governance, they're contained in those two. And we're willing to discuss these with them and discuss them in terms of the Companies Act. And we've put this out. Unfortunately, none of them have come back to say that we're willing to do this. But what we've also done is that we've investigated them fully. We're in court currently with the National Nuclear Regulator. Okay, we found some very bad governance failures there. And we went and reported. I reported it to the minister. The minister said, take this thing to court. Take them. Prosecute them. And that's exactly what we did. We did Telkom at one stage, and we had the CEO owning up to governance failures, and we put him on a course. We sent him on a governance course. He was very upset, but he complied. We were a lot in the newspapers now for South African Airways. Yeah. We took them to task about some of the issues around the ex-chairperson, as well as the governance. We are now fully involved also in the matter of Danel. We found some governance failures in Danel. And unfortunately, we some of those governance failures might be hitting the newspapers very soon because we're prosecuting. So I keep telling them, and we write to them. The one standard note I say is that when I write to the chairpersons of these boards or the CEOs is that we're not here to come after. We're here to make sure that you get better.
Mm.
How can we help you get better? You know, and we do that. Some of them really comply and we assist them, but then some of them just think that we're going to go away or something like that. So we try and deal with the governance issue and improving on the governance in state-owned companies more than coming with a big stick and not. But if they don't want to comply, we unfortunately do take them on. And it's a difficult task. I find myself in the newspapers a lot. But it's something that we have to do. All good news. Yeah, it's all good news. And so we try and achieve it. Education and then compliance. Educate you first, then you must comply. Look at state-owned companies, some of them run really well, some of them run really badly. All right, for example, in the energy sector, we found a lot of failures. A lot of failures in many of the energy portfolios. Regarding the issue of conglomerates, I'm going to cop out on this one. I'm going to say it's more the work of the Competition Commission. The competition could be two bodies that look at this regarding the issue of monopolies and large presence of companies. It's the Competition Commission who looks at the economic impact that it will have on the public. And there's another body called the Takeover Regulation Panel that looks at the aspect of minority protection and minority shareholding of the companies and the protection mechanism for them. So the Competition Commission will deal with the issue of how these conglomerates function and the impact that they have in the free market economy. We only deal with the registration of them, unfortunately. As I said, I'm going to cop out on this one. The issue of designs, it's not 51% regarding the volume. It's 51% of those who applied online. The others applied manually. So we probably do about 2,500. I think the numbers might be here somewhere. I think the numbers. Yes, 2,000. Last year we did 2,100. 2,100 new designs. It averages around there, around the 2,000 mark for the last couple of years. It's around the 2,000 mark, which for the size of our country and the size of our economy, it's a fairly good number. When I speak an international forum on IP, South Africa has a very good sense. We're the largest IP office on the African continent. And if you look at our numbers, for example, in designs, some African countries probably have 10 to 15 designs a year, 20 designs, 50 designs a year. We've got a significant number when it comes to the issue of designs. But it's the utilization of the online system that we want to encourage. We want more than 51%. We want it to be more than that. Remember, a lot of these, actually, I think more than between probably 95 to 100% of these online registrations are done by these law firms. Okay? People go to them and say, we want to register our designs, and they go through this process of the utilization of the system. But many of them still submit them manually, even though we've discussed it with them and we try to educate them on the system. Regarding the issue of trademarks, the protection mechanism that goes with trademarks, we're very much involved in this space, all right? Firstly, informing and educating, but the next thing is also enforcing. We've got an enforcement wing that goes out and deal with the work of assisting people whose trademarks have been expropriated unlawfully, for example. Now, what we do is we also work very closely with the World Intellectual Property Organization. We've put out a manual. We work very closely with them in order for the enforcement work to be done in a coherent manner between ourselves, the prosecuting authorities, the judicial authority like the police, and basically we play a very active role as far as that is concerned. But what we also do is we're starting something, and maybe I can try and speak about trademarks in terms of innovation, all right? Because We also deal with patents. What we're also doing in the next couple of days, we're also launching something called the Innovators Assistance Program. It is a program whereby CIPC, together with the World Intellectual Property Organization, will assist inventors, whether it's in the trademark space or whether it's in the patent space, to register these designs free of charge. It costs a huge amount of money. But what we've done is we've approached the big law firms to ask them to do the work on a pro bono basis and to give them credit for it. And a lot of them have agreed to it. So we're launching the program tomorrow. We're launching the program tomorrow. I know the DG of Small Business will do the keynote address for us. And we're getting our DGs and a couple of them also attending. So basically we want to spread it out there to say, if you have a good design, good patent, come to us and we will help you to get these things registered. Because sometimes the registration aspect is the impediment. People don't have the money. It could cost you up to 100,000 rand to register some of these things. So they can't do it. And therefore what happens, as you said, Chairperson, people steal them. You know, there's a big design case currently going on between the Basutu people and Louis Vuitton. They stole the design and they put it on the shirt. The shirt is 35,000 rand for one shirt. 35,000 rand. They stole a Basutu design. So we want to get involved in the space to make sure that we take these things on and we educate people, but we also want to assist those who have these type of designs. You know, previously there was another matter where in the BMW car there was a design stolen from a designer in Malanga, somewhere there. The BMW car, one of the expensive BMWs had a little logo on the seat or something, and used in an advert. It was stolen from one of our provinces. So we really get, well, the development trade industry gets involved very much involved in stuff like that.
You say, I'm sorry to interrupt, we don't normally do this. I'm particularly because you mentioned Lesotho. I'm worried when you say we want to.
No, they are.
You should be saying we will.
Yes, no.
You will.
Wrong use of words. We just didn't take these things on. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Dr. Robbie, is very passionate about this. And also what we do in the creative artist space, we play a very critical role. The one role that we play is that there's something called collecting societies, those who collect the money on behalf of artists. The big one is called SEMPRA, South African Music Producers Association, or something like that. The first thing we do is that we register them, right? We register these collecting societies to collect the monies, and some of them have been around for many, many years. The next thing that we do is we vet their distribution plans. The way they distribute to artists, they have to get our approval in order for that to be done. And the third thing that we've done is that we now, for the first time, we're auditing these distribution plans to make sure that the money flows to the artists, because we get a lot of complaints afterwards. So when it comes to the creative artist space and how we deal with the issue of compliance, distribution agencies are very much scrutinized by ourselves. And just yesterday I was reading some emails about somebody complaining about one of them, and we take them to task as far as how the distributions are concerned. The issue of the revenue fund, I think it's going to be a trend now, unfortunately. The National Treasury is snooping around again. They've been in contact with us in the last couple of weeks. Couple of things. The one is, and it's a big concern of ours, we don't mind giving the money, right, because I think we have quite a good surplus. And we've given it after the last 2 years. The last 3 years, we've given the surplus to the National Revenue Fund, and I think it's going to continue. But what they're doing is now they're actually also snooping around our surplus. But we want to utilize the surplus because we want a new building. The CIPC wants to move out of space. The current space that we have is too small for us, seeing that we're going to be getting new patent examiners on board and et cetera, and also that we need some critical vacancies that we need to fill. So I'm in contact with my group COO. I just called her 2 days ago to say, please, the National Treasury calls, you say no, because we certainly have use for the money. But on a serious note, Chairperson, they are certainly looking for money all over. We can sense that they want you to take the billion that we've got. But we're going to use it for a building, and we really want to use it. But coming to the point that you also made about use, we are highly IT-driven, and IT is an extremely expensive infrastructure. As the Honourable Member Valdo said is regarding IT, we pride ourselves on our delivery based on our stable and modern IT system. So a lot of that is going to be used also for that. So we've got a lot of plans for it. So we're trying to keep them at bay when it comes to the wanting to take it. I think that's from me.
Thank you. They say normally you don't speak after your boss. The boss says that he will do the introduction to the questions. Let's hear from the other members of CIPC. Do you want to add to the answer?
I think I've covered it, John.
You've covered it.
Maybe just to add on one aspect on the trademarks. Part of the education awareness campaign that we've been driving has been saying that we must encourage the owners of those trademarks to make sure that when they register a company, they must also register a logo or register that name that they basically have. Because the implications of that is that you can have a company that you can register today with that name, but you only registered in terms of the Companies Act. There is a different act, which is the Trademarks Act, which requires you to register a logo and a name as a brand. So there is a process of that encouragement to all of the people who are registering companies to say, also register a trademark so that you can be able to make sure that it's properly covered. Because in the event that, for example, you register the company, but someone else is on a different space than what you are doing, you can register the same name as a trademark and continue to work with a similar name, but your name would have been registered in terms of the company's actual law. So I think that those are some of the soft spots that we're trying to make sure that people are aware of as we actually go on in the process of registering the trademark.
No, thank you very much. On behalf of all the members, we want to thank you. Can I conclude just on this one? You see, there's this plant, Honorable Faber, that grows here in the Karoo. So it's Western Cape, certain parts of the Eastern Cape and Northern Cape. An Elu plant. we don't grow it, we do something else. But the interesting thing about this Elu plant is because of the problem that we have with obesity globally now, and also some of the other sicknesses related to our modern society and modern habits. It's a very good antibiotic. It has lots of antibodies in it. And already, I've seen at a friend's house just last week that they have this Elu that is in a bottle. And it apparently comes from some South American country. And it is produced, I can't remember, but it's some company, I think in Pau, that's bottled it. And I'm saying that this is not really the truth. So we've seen it happening with rooibos.
Yes.
When I was in Geneva, they served me rooibos.
Yes.
In a nice silver tea bag. And it's written Red Bush on it. And I'm saying, where was this thing grown? They don't know where it was grown. Now we also have Honey Bush tea, but because we know, and I'm concluding with this, honorable members, you would have noticed that where we're going to now is that the Department of Trade and Industry is becoming involved in the agricultural economy because we recognize that many of our poorest people are still within the rural communities. And it's important that we, as this department with the successes, then also look at how we can engage people there. So we'd want to encourage you to not forget that particular angle of the responsibilities that you have as well, to help those people in the agricultural sector, because it's part of something that we also strongly support and want to see succeed. Thank you very much. We would ask you to just bear with us so that you don't leave us here. We just have two things to do. Honourable members, the first is to say that we must we must just register the apologies that I have here of the Honorable Khai. He had to see a doctor today with his continuous problems. Just half one minute, literally, remember. And the second is the apology from the Honorable Mutebe. Those are the two written apologies that I have. Can I then request us? Help me. We can look at the minutes, right? We can't.
Okay.
We can't look at the minutes. Okay. And then we'll look at the minutes at our next meeting. Honourable members, we won't be meeting next week, but we'll be meeting the week after that to receive the report from the South African Tourism, an entity of the National Department of Tourism. Thank you very much for the members also for being here. Thank you.